Good evening, Lowell, Massachusetts.
And now, presenting a joint production of For the Pops and the NAI Network.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
A verbal history of chaotic wrestling by the two men who were there from the beginning. Hall of Fame ring announcer and commentator, Rich Palladino.
He is the current, reigning, and defending Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
Former owner of Chaotic Wrestling for nearly two decades, Jamie Jamakowski.
No blood, no cursing, stay off the barriers.
It's time to
let the chaos begin
on the NAI Pop Network.
All right, we're back. We are going to continue our conversation here on the Let the Chaos Begin podcast here on the NAI Pop Network. Rich Palladino, Jamie Jamakowski, our special guest, the Golden Greek, Alex Arion with us. We're talking Steve Bradley. We're talking WFA, the Wrestling Federation of America, and the war against chaotic wrestling. Jamie?
I think it's so funny that as we're starting to figure out, it was a war that half the soldiers didn't know they were in. I think there was maybe a smaller handful of us that were much more wound up about it.
Yeah.
But it both let us motivate our troops. You guys were motivated.
Sure. Right?
Whatever Steve was telling you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we were the evil empire at yep. the time. And WFA was the first ones who really said, no, we're gonna blow up the Death Star.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was like I keep going back to it. It was like the little things. It was driving through the towns, and I keep referring to the posters you brought, seeing these things everywhere. What that caused us, and I will say, I've said this up until I said it yesterday when I was talking to Tarzan, that in a weird way, Chaotic owes Steve Bradley and the WFA for how good and how big we got. Because we could have coasted if you guys hadn't showed up. We wouldn't have had to change it. We could have kept running vanilla shows. And we probably would have kept doing what we were doing. When you guys, you know, kind of started this little push on us, it forced us to change. You know, I had Pants and Mucko, and I'll continue to bring them up during this part, saying to me, we've got to do different stuff. We've got to bring different people in. We've got to give different matches. This is bullshit. They're starting to draw crowds away from us. And you can't keep doing the same old vanilla crap that you've been doing for the past few years. So yeah. I have to give you guys credit, purely from a competition standpoint, that's what made us better. So, but now I'd be driving, I'd see all your damn posters. Next thing you know, part of a requirement for younger students on our shows was they would have to do postering runs with Pants and Mucko. And you can talk to NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa. You can talk to tag team champion... what's his name now? He's always handsome.
Just handsome.
He'll always be handsome to me, though.
Yeah. Right?
No, but I mean, Tommaso, handsome, Max, Malonis, now newly signed with Ring of Honor Malonis, Psycho, all these guys, they had to go out and poster or they wouldn't book them on shows anymore. And that was purely because of you guys. They made us change our posters so that it was a lot more live pro wrestling. You know, it wasn't, we didn't lead with our poster anymore, Chaotic Wrestling, because nobody cared.
Right.
All people wanted to know was live pro wrestling, which I believe, look what yours says, live pro wrestling.
WFA's really small.
Yeah.
It's
pro
wrestling.
Ours used to be these terrible pictures and, you know, we'd do, even times like we would do like the glossy color ones as versus, no, just bright colors, have it say live pro wrestling and the date.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about, look, an indie level. No offense against any of us. Nobody cared about the company name.
Exactly.
Nobody cared about the guys on the show.
Exactly.
Just wanted people to know there was live pro wrestling in town. So we had to change our booking. We changed the people we were using. And we changed our promotion strategy. The interesting thing, though, and this is what I wanted to get to. We were kind of chatting during the break. Is the one way you guys really started to get to us was we were known at the CTC. We were a little militant. There's been talk, and I don't know if you know this, Al, for some of our younger students, do you know Mike Hollow would require them to bring in their report cards?
No.
And we would review their report cards.
Wow.
Or I don't want to say we. And if some of the younger students weren't doing well, he'd suspend them from training. We can talk to Chase and Max about different reasons we suspended people over time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, now, at being 41 and being a dad. I appreciate that now. If you would have told me that back then, I'd be like, who the fuck cares? What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
But I could appreciate that now. You'd be, you know, having grown as a man and everything. But
on the flip side, though, but Gold's Gym, as long as you pay your membership, they don't care what your grades are.
Right.
Why
should
they care? That's not their job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But what you guys now started to offer, and the other thing was, you can talk to any of our guys, our training was a bit repetitious. I think back in the day, if you remember, and Rich, I can look at you because you were at more of our shows. Al, you would know this from the work side. You could always tell a chaotic trained guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
They were solid on fundamentals.
Yep.
But.
That was it. I'm being blunt. I mean, that was it. It was, okay, yeah, he's a chaotic guy. You could tell. Because, again, all the basic fundamental stuff, looked great. But then when it came to, like, you know, just being able to work, connecting with a crowd, all that kind of stuff, a lot of guys were lacking in that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name names because, honestly, I don't remember exactly, but you could always tell if I was on, like, a Sheldon show or something like that, I could always tell, okay, that guy is a chaotic guy.
Yeah.
You could just tell.
I remember this one night, and as a guy who's in the ring, you'll appreciate this, Rich. Al was the guy in the ring, but Rich, you were there. Mm-hmm. There was one night, and if I really look back, I'd probably find a booking sheet. Where for whatever reason, maybe we did. What was the old gimmick where you'd mix up a lethal lottery or something like that, where everybody get a random tag team partner.
Sure. Yeah.
But we did a night of tag team matches. It was all of our guys, and Al, holy shit! All of a sudden, on match number 4, I remember Pants Mucko and I are standing backstage, and we're like, holy shit, we've seen this match 3 times before, because everybody did. The exact same
lock
shine,
up. Yeah.
Cut off, heat, comeback, hot tag, like every hot tag was the exact same. And we're realizing it's like, oh my God, you know what they're doing? They're running CTC matches, chaotic training center matches.
Yeah.
Because that's all they knew.
Yeah.
And we're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But I remember that. And what you guys were offering in terms of training was different.
Yeah.
Because when you and Steve would train, what was your training focus? Like, let me put it this way. Let me ask it this way.
Yeah,
I could tell you, and I won't. What was a typical training night at Top Rope?
Boy, you warm up with blow up drills, which I think Fury still does to this day at his school now. And then it would be after that initial class where we had like Brandon Locke, Scott Reed. That group of guys, once those guys got going after a couple of months, it would be just whatever Steve might have noticed in a previous training, or if he watched just a random tape of an indie show or something like that. It's something that he would look at and get either a hair across his ass about, or something he saw somebody do that was really good and he'd want to expand on that. It would just be, there was never really any structure aside from blow up drills. I remember one time, because when I used to throw, I could throw a good punch now.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, the guys would see lights when I would punch them. I used to just potato guys with my punches. Everybody'd be like, wow, he throws a good punch. Yeah, because it's real.
He's hitting them in the face. Yeah.
I had to learn how to punch without touching the guy or barely touching the guy. We worked on just punches one class, and that was it. Just everybody worked on punches, how to throw punches or how to throw a good forearm. If you couldn't get the punch down, you throw a good forearm. It just, you know, different stuff like that, but it would, there'd be a lot of watching tapes. It wouldn't be like class starts at 7 and we're done at 9. There'd be a lot of nights where you'd go into 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, geez.
There was no real structure.
It was the anti-chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very not
structured. Our classes were, like you said, start open with drills, but then there would always be a set plan for the night, which usually revolved around more fundamentals. You're going to laugh. Because I want to talk about your shows, too, and we talked a little bit about what made them different, and you touched on it, but we'll go back to it. Steve was also a character guy.
Yes.
Meaning, if you look, like you said, Nightbreed, Noise Boys, Metro Men, he created characters to entertain the crowd.
Yep.
Right? And we were good at characters. Look, say what you want, but we had Psycho, we had Handsome Johnny, we had Thomas Penmanship, Tommy Penmanship, right?
Thomas.
So we had it, but ours were different. Ours were very WWE at the time, WWF-ish characters.
Yeah.
But you may not know this. One of the famous character development things we used to do at the CTC was we used to do what they called vending machine vignettes. Do you know what these are?
No.
We used to have two vending machines there, right?
Yeah.
And we would say, we'd put people in pairs and we'd say, okay, it's a backstage thing. It's a WWE zone on the backstage. You're backstage and the camera catches you in front of the vending machines and go. And every freaking one would start with, oh, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? No, what'd they say? And every, and that would be our character development nights at nice. At Chaotic. Nice. Meanwhile, you guys are going till 1 in the morning.
We're going till 1 in the morning.
On whatever Steve saw yesterday.
Yeah, and then once we started actually running shows, I would take Nightbreed, and we would go with a camera, and we would Steve would be running class, and I would take these guys, and we'd go around downtown Manchester in the old mill buildings and find just abandoned mill buildings so we could shoot their entrance video stuff or shoot vignettes or promos with them. So, yeah, we were doing all kinds of...
That came from you guys then.
We were doing a lot of stuff.
Because I remember all of a sudden Pants and Mucko started to grab cameras. And, yeah. Rich, you'll remember there was the famous one with Kofi where they found right around the corner from the school, they were actually tearing down a building.
Yeah.
I think they were tearing down an old yeah. school yeah. or an old daycare thing. And all that was left there was like the broken down playground. Mm-hmm. So they had Kofi shoot a promo in front of it talking about, you know, and won't do the accent, you know, look in America, how you treat yeah. your schools.
Yeah.
But they were getting that from you guys saying, look what they're doing.
Yeah.
We better start doing more content too.
Yeah. We did all kinds of stuff. I would take, Justin Shape and the Fat Squad. I would take them. We went to a, there was a,
I just love that name.
It's awesome.
I love it.
We would go to a supplement store that I used to get my supplements from. And the guy had like a weight bench and like a barbell and stuff in his place. And I went up to him one time and I said, hey, I'm with a wrestling company. Do you mind if I bring a couple guys and we just shoot a couple of things in your store? Would that be okay? And we would shoot vignettes. I'd find random places and we would, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the things. Once we started going, I wasn't in the school as much. I'd be going and I guess you call it producing.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was a lot of this stuff came from me and just like with the direction of Steve, like, hey, figure something out with this. I need entrance video footage for the Nightbreed. Can you get me some cool shots? Okay. I'd take, you know, this guy, Camera Dave, we used to call him. But he used to work for the Manchester Monarchs hockey team.
Yep.
And he just, I can't remember how we came in contact with him, but he had a camera and like all his stuff that he would shoot with the Monarchs. So he had all the really good, expensive equipment and stuff. And he would come to the school and I go, all right, Dave, come with me. Let me see, you know, Matt Spectro, you know, Marcus, come with me or whoever,
yeah,
whoever
yeah,
it
yeah.
was, whoever we needed stuff for. And we'd just go, I'd find a place and go, okay, let's do something here. All right, here's what we're doing now, or, you know, whatever. Just spitball shit. And
that's awesome.
The guys would throw ideas at me. I'd go, oh, yeah, that's great. And we just film it. And then whatever we used. Whatever was good, you know. But that was a lot of the stuff that I did early on.
At your live shows, do you guys do a lot of – what was your entrance? Like, did you have a screen and did you do a lot of video
yeah,
there?
Yeah, we had a screen, yeah. He had a – what do you use?
Like a projector.
He had a projector and it was like a canvas that he got. Yeah, he got that idea from Kettner.
Yeah, I think we all stole that from Kettner
eventually. I think everybody did, yeah.
We just never did a good job of it in Chaotic. We had a sheet. Remember the sheet?
I was going to say, the sheet above the entranceway. What's wrong with the sheet?
The wrinkled sheet, that was always a good time. Or sometimes in Methuen, we'd actually just shine it right on the wall. Because it was a white wall and it was easier.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I don't know if I think I said it. I never got to meet Steve Bradley. I never went to a WFA show. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I was afraid I would have gotten lynched in there. but I never went to a WFA show. And I think what we're kind of getting to is at this point, you guys were now running. You had your own thing going. You had a solid roster.
Yep.
We pivoted. We had our solid roster. I can say that because of them, this was when we started to turn our roster. This is when you did start to see the names I talk about all the time. Psycho, Malonis, Handsome Johnny.
Max Bauer,
Tommaso. This is when we brought in the Kettner crew. Fred Sampson. Who else? We had
Blowout
Fred, the
Boys.
Blowout Boys.
We had Scotty Charisma.
Yeah. And that was what we did was to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we wanted to – our big goal was we knew we would have been screwed if we had lost the WWE connection. And Pritchard was one who said we should work with Kettner. Once we had Kettner and his guys involved, we were starting to feel a little bit more confident again. Yeah. But, like, I remember one of the first things you guys did was we talked about the battles back and forth. You guys brought in Pritchard.
Yeah.
You guys brought in Pritchard for a camp. And if there was one that almost gave me an aneurysm, that was the one.
Really?
Oh, that set me off.
Because that wasn't, I can, maybe he was trying to do that as a dig at you guys, but that was more for just the guys, like the students. I don't think he...
Oh, that one.
I could be wrong, but I don't think that was meant as a shot at you guys.
Oh, that gave me an aneurysm. Because now you were going, now he was going after my bread and butter. He was going after my WWE relationship, and I had to be afraid.
Yeah.
Because he knew more people than we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the big thing is, but I came into the show thinking I was going to take this from a different perspective. I was actually going to say to you guys, if I had to say when you could have really hit us, but you didn't, and I'll tell you why in a second. I'm now realizing it was because you didn't have to anymore. You guys had established a roster now. And you didn't need to pirate guys from Chaotic because your guys were just as good.
Yeah.
You had your core group just like we had our core group. But that's where they almost had us, Rich. Mm-hmm. It was when, and I can tell you, and they may not know that I know after all these years, but all of a sudden, Max Bauer would occasionally pop up there to train with you guys on an off night.
Yeah.
That we weren't run, that we didn't have class. Because we used to run Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, and then sometimes Sundays.
Yep.
But I know, like, sometimes on a Monday or Wednesday night, mm-hmm. Max would pop up there. Chase and the Logans would pop up there. Different guys would start popping up there training with you guys.
Yeah.
They kept it from me because they knew if I found out, mm-hmm. that we'd have a problem. Because I probably would not have, at the time, and Al, I got to tell you, if I could go back, you know, what are we talking about, 18 years and talk to, you know, 32, 33-year-old Jamie at the time. So if I went back 15 years, I'd probably tell him, dude, chill a bit. It's going to work out. You don't need to overreact to some of this stuff. Yeah. But I know 33-year-old Jamie, I would have flipped. I would have fired guys. They never would have been seen in Chaotic Ring again.
Yeah.
And you guys probably could have gotten half our roster because you were the cool kids. Hollow and I, we were rules. We'll suspend you. If you work anywhere else, you know, we might actually have you killed. That's why we had Tony Omega nearby. Tony Omega's entire job was to, if somebody crossed lines, Tony, you know. Yeah, I mean.
How about that, Tony Omega?
Yeah, how about that? Remember El Chupacabra?
Yes.
Never heard from him again, did you, Rich? You know why? Tony, he got Omega'd. Oh. We had to Omega him one day. Oh, but no, but all kidding aside, that was the thing that, sorry, wait, we have a, stop calling. What's going on? Sorry. That was my phone going off in the background.
Oh, see, I muted mine when we started recording. That's okay.
I don't know what I just did. It's these newfangled technologies.
Yes.
So, but that's where you guys started to draw from us.
Yeah.
Was, and actually, I'm going to touch on this too. You guys started to take some of what I would call our cast-offs. At one point, my favorite one ever was Andre and Minnie.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yes.
We had had a falling out with them for a number of reasons that we won't get into.
Okay.
But we had a falling out with them, and we'll never forget the video. It was them in a parking lot. Your WFA, you had a truck, right? Or a truck with a banner or something.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Your truck was parked in the background. They both walked in to frame, smirked at the camera, and walked toward the WFA sign. Did you shoot that one?
Yeah.
Good for you. Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to
laugh. Well, congratulations, because 15 years later, I still remember that video like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow. And that was a direct shot of they were two born and bred Chaotic guys.
Yeah. So they were done at that point.
They were done with us, yeah.
Okay.
Andre worked for me during the day, and I fired him from there.
Oh, wow. Then,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heat.
Oh, was he?
In comes producer Alex Arion. Hey, guys, here's what we do.
Oh, I still remember that video. Like, but look, I love how he tried to babyface for an hour and a half now, where he's like, no, you know, I didn't realize. Okay, so you didn't think it was a war. You were coming after, but you produced that video.
Yeah.
You knew damn well what you were doing, you liar. Okay. You liar.
And then I'll just put a little gas on the fire.
There's Al's heel turn right there, everybody.
What happened with our Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion?
Oh, tell
Billy
that story.
Kryptonite.
Tell that story.
Oh, this is awesome. So this
in hindsight, this is a great story.
So I like Chad.
Chad.
God bless you. God bless you.
He came up to the school, and like trained with us or whatever. This is when I found out that you guys had all the students carry a notebook, which I just couldn't. I could not. I still don't get that. Having a notebook and taking notes on wrestling. It's like, what do you do? What? So I remember he had a notebook and he was showing me his notebook. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What? So he trained with us for a little while or whatever, and I got along great with Chad. Steve liked him too. And he was your champion, right?
Crowned champion. Like, he won our belt. And Chad's whole thing was, to describe Chad, he was like, he was built. I mean, the kid was jacked.
Yeah.
What was he, though, Rich?
5'4"?
I was going to say, 5'6".
He was not
maybe.
A tall
he was shorter
kid.
Than me, and I'm not tall.
But at the time, he had, like, bleach blonde hair with us. Yep. He had a lifeguard gimmick because he looked like a Baywatch cast off. And that was actually his theme music with us, was Baywatch.
With the zinc oxide on his nose. Yeah.
Whistle
around his neck.
But we used to run on Fridays. So we crowned Chad on a Friday. Not the next night, but 8 days later.
Okay, yeah.
You guys put him on a show.
That's what it was. Yeah, so he'd been coming up and training with us. And we were like, we'll use you. And Steve had an idea for him where he was going to be like, he was going to be Billy Kryptonite. Was that
Billy
his
Kryptonite
name? Yeah.
Lifesaver.
Billy Kryptonite. But he was going to be giving advice to people, kind of like, you remember like Lucy in the Peanuts comics?
Yeah.
I think we even shot some vignettes too, where we made up like a little stand for him, and people would come over and he'd like give advice, because that we were taking that off of him, like in real life, because he would always be like,
you want
to not blow up? Try this drill. Try doing this. So whatever, that was going to be his gimmick. So I want to say that he'd been asking when can I come on a show or whatever, and Steve. I think when Steve found out that you guys put him over for your belt, he's like, let's use him in Littleton. I was like, okay, sounds good. He's like, let's have him lose the D, like, fast. We'll test him. We'll see if he boo-boo faces it all. And I was like, all right, I guess. sounds good. Because I'm thinking there's no way in hell this is going to happen. Like, he's not going to do that. But we'll try it. So, yeah, sure enough, he came up. We booked him. I could be wrong, but I don't think we told him until that night what he was going to do. I'm pretty sure that we didn't tell him.
Make sure he invests in the 4-hour drive to get there
exactly.
to honor his booking first.
Such assholes. But that does make it a little bit funnier to me that you made the kid drive to Littleton.
Such assholes.
Wasn't it like 16 seconds? It was like...
It was quick.
Yeah.
It was fast. But he was, whatever you need. Sounds good. Went in, did his thing, came back. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Shaking hands and everything. I was like, well, fuck, he passed that test. Sounds good. We'll use him from now on.
You've known Brian Fury for like 20 years now at this point, right?
Yeah.
You know when Brian really starts laughing, he gets like that high-pitched giggle?
Yeah.
You ever want to hear Fury laugh like that? Bring up the Chad Wicks and WFA story. Fury to this day will start doing that little Fury high-pitched giggle of how funny he still finds that story. But so, that happens. We find out. Because the funny part is, like, even...
Put it on his website. Steve put it on the website. That's what it was.
Champion loses in Littleton in 14 seconds or whatever it was.
I didn't know that was happening till it happened. Steve would edit all the videos. He did the website.
So
that was
smart.
All him.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, he did that, and I saw it the next day, and he's like, what do you think of this? Al, come here.
That's awesome.
Come here. I'm walking to the desk. What's up? Bring me behind the desk where the computer was. Look at this. I remember exactly. Look at this. Clicks the mouse. Holy shit. I just remember being like, holy shit.
That's amazing.
And D was do we want to just put it out who it was? Or it was an established New England veteran under a hood.
Yeah.
That was.
He was not one of your main eventers, if I recall. He was.
It was Kevin Landry.
Was it?
Yeah. Kevin Landry was D.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, he was over. D?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. People love D. So that's who we had Chad work with was D, and D just, I think he kicked him in the gut, picked him up, gave him his finish. I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
There was no offense.
It's like
nothing.
Diesel beating Bob Backlund in like
and
12
then,
seconds.
Much, yeah. But then we saw the video where they told us, and my partner at the time, Ben Lentini, he called, and this story I get asked about all the time, was it true? Ben lit into Chad. He absolutely let him have it. We were going back and forth. Was he dropping the belt on the next show immediately? Because, and Ben took the high road on it, Buzz, but you disrespected yourself. You disrespected us. You did this. And poor Chad, you know him. And I feel bad because it's kind of like yelling at a puppy that peed on the rug at that point. Chad didn't like, right?
Yeah.
Chad would do anything to please anybody.
Yeah.
And Rich is ripping him a new one. Like, Chad's almost in tears on the phone with Ben. because, like you said, Chad Noah just knew opportunity. And Chad just, he just wanted more knowledge. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to work for Steve Bradley.
Right.
Can I learn? Look at my notebook. Hey, Al, can I learn from you? And that was, and then Ben's ripping him a new one. And then I remember Muckle and Pants called me. They're like, did Ben call and yell? I'm like, yeah, they did. And then we got into a big to-do because they weren't sure that we had approached it right. I'm like, I personally don't give them F if we approached it right. So we were all wound up. But no, that was one of the, that's one of the best stories.
Chad in his notebook. We had Pat Patterson at the school, remember? And Chad legitimately had that notebook, I think, from the first day he started training. And Pat Patterson, Hall of Famer, first Intercontinental champion, is at our school teaching a class. Everything Pat's writing down, everything Pat's saying, Chad's writing down. Pat goes outside to have a cigarette. Right hand to God, Chad followed him outside with his fucking notebook.
Oh, yeah.
And continued to write down anything that Pat was talking about. That's just, you awesome, talked about the notebook, that just popped in my head.
Alan, I will have to do more of this because, like, I could see, like, I never even thought that the notebooks were that stupid because
I thought it was just stupid because, there's a use for everything. I mean, but at the time, I'm like, what the fuck are you writing down?
I think different it's people wrestling. Learn in different ways.
Of course.
I mean, I can't speak for the rest of the course. Class and who had the notebooks, but. To Chad, that was probably his best way, and he probably read that as gospel every night before he went to bed and said his prayers and, you know, drop down and take over. Yeah, and took his vitamins. Yeah.
And then I remember the other big one that I remember in all of this middle was the other person you got from us was Vince Vicalo.
Yeah.
Jay came over.
Yep.
Because that started, we talked earlier about dating in the business. What happened was Jay actually started dating somebody who was part of the school. And at the time, Michael had a real hard, fast rule against that. And I will say, as an outsider coming into wrestling, I kind of came in late when I started the company. I never really understood. And, like, back then, though, even WWE, like, officially frowned on that. But then at the same time, you know, you had Triple H in China. Maybe at that point it was Triple H instead. In any workplace, and wrestling's not normal.
No.
Because,
no.
Look. In so many ways.
Yeah.
But if you're actually someplace where you're training, let's say 3 nights a week, and you're going to 2 shows a weekend, and you're driving 4 hours to the show, or if we look at WWE, these people are training together, traveling together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a regular job, let's say you worked at a hotel, and those were your hours, where are you more than likely going to meet somebody?
Yep.
Where you work.
Yep.
So I always kind of thought that's like the dumbest rule on the face of the earth, the no dating in the industry, because who the hell else are you going to meet? It's either going to be somebody in the crowd, which that's a different story.
Yeah, right.
We can tell those stories on another.
Sure.
We'll do that on the mature version. Jay started dating somebody. Something didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything major. It was like literally he ghosted her or he stopped calling her. She went to Hollow. And Mike went after Jay for it. Jay had enough, and you were friends with Jay. Am I telling the story right?
Yeah,
am I
very pretty good close? Friends. Mike did not approve, and said person also, let's just say, had ties to a historical figure in the business.
Yeah, she. I don't. I was gonna phrase it. So she had some connection to the business. She wasn't some new girl off the street.
We'll talk about it after.
All right.
But So Mike went after Jay,
and Jay was just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and Jay's very, hey, man, level-headed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He was like, you know, screw this. I'm leaving Chaotic. I can't go to school. I can't go train 2-3 days a week with this guy that's getting into my personal business.
Yeah.
Now, granted, said girl did complain to Mike about Vicalo, but that was the whole thing. And it broke my heart because, like, that was one of my travel partners, so it completely broke my heart because I like showing up to shows in a Corvette. You know, it made me look cool. But
what you guys are offering. All of a sudden, guys who worked for us, if they left us, they didn't have to step down to anywhere.
Yeah.
Because at that point, forgive me, NECW, all those places, they would be taking a step back. You guys weren't a step. All of a sudden, there was someplace equal, if not in their minds, better, that they could go work. And that's what started to cut. But my favorite part of the story is, do you remember one of the first matches that you guys had Jay do for you?
It
was with Tim McNeeny.
Oh, was it the drinking match?
Yes, thank you.
This was in Lawrence too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was in Lawrence. If I ever could have, in hindsight, if I go back in time, like Marty McFly, put on sunglasses and sneak into a WFA event to see one match,
That's the
this
one.
Is the match I would want to go see. So go ahead,
yes.
Tell us. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes.
Was it called Yo Ho Ho and a Bottle of Rum or something? I mean, it was
something.
I can't something,
remember what it was called.
That really sticks out in my mind, but it was something with a bottle.
Yeah, so, yeah it was
so
Jack
what
Daniels.
Was the stipulation?
Yeah, if you got bumped out of the ring, you'd have to take a shot of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
And it was real Jack Daniels. And
it was
I think Timmy and Jay had both had a couple of shots before they even went out.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was a fun match.
I don't remember if I heard about this from people who were there and you got to understand, like you said, Jay's awesome. I love Vince. Timmy, great guy.
Oh, I love Timmy.
Right? Love Timmy. Yep. At the time, and I don't know either of them now as much, at the time they both liked their liquor. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, this was the mothership calling Vince Vicalo home.
Yeah, exactly. This was you know, Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 3. This was Jay's. This was Vince Vicalo's dream match to be. So, and I don't remember if somebody was there. Because what was also happening, like Pants and Mucko, they were going to shows, your shows, to check them out. And like different people were going, and I'd hear back and I'll never. So I don't know if this came from Jay later or these guys then, but from what I understand, and I know you won't find this hard to believe, I believe like Timmy and Jay, their opening spot was lock up, shoot off, clothesline, both go over the top.
Yes.
So literally, their first goal of the match was start the match. We're both outside. We both got to do a shot.
Of course.
And I want to say they had done like 6 shots in the first 3 minutes of the match.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I remember that was a curtain sellout for sure. Because I mean had that ever been done before? I'm sure everything's been done before, but to my knowledge, that I don't think that anything like that had ever.
It's
been done
not
before,
the safest thing in the world, but. But still, it is. It's a first of a kind. Of course, the entire locker room is going to sell out the curtain to see that.
Yeah,
that Vicalo's was... in his glory. Tim's happy, and you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it's. I don't even know what else to say. It's just. Oh, I mean,
fun.
Vicalo would.
It was
just,
fun to watch.
Just to get it. I mean, we all know Jay, who portrayed the character Vince Vicalo. This is a guy that drove a Corvette. Would pick me up at my house with a 12-pack of Bud Light in the back seat of his Corvette and be like, we'd hit the highway, let's crack one open. And that's when I would have to be the heel and be like, dude, really? We have to drive to South Portland, Maine. So when we were doing the Strive Center. Yeah. And be like, No, I'm sorry. I just can't. And now here he is, gets his first match. Wait, I get to drink during the match?
Oh, God.
Don't even pay me. I'm good.
It wasn't a 12-pack when he got with us. It was a 24-pack.
I was going to say, Rich, you said a 12-pack. Yeah. Are you sure? I want to say it was like those. Remember they used to have like the cubes?
Yeah, the cubes. That's what he would have. Yeah.
He would always bring a cube.
Always have a cube. Yeah.
I traveled with him far too much. And
Before we take a break, then we'll come back. We'll kind of wrap all this up. Anything else that you really remember that we didn't touch on that jumps out at you?
No.
Well, while you think, the only other thing was Vicalo called me one night and said, because I knew Steve, and he said, hey, listen, I've been talking to Steve, been working for WFA, you know, he'd really like for you to come up and do a show sometime. And at that point, it was like Littleton Opera House, and I mapped it out from where I live, and I live down on the Rhode Island border, and it was like 3.5-4 hours. I'm like, I passed on it, and honestly, this is where Jamie had said earlier, like, the roster knew about the war we were in. The old ring announcer that just showed up every 3 weeks to do a show, I may not have been as in tune with everything that was going on. And to me, it wasn't, and this is news to Jamie. This is the first time he's heard me tell this story. Yeah. But I legitimately, I liked Steve. I knew Steve from the very beginning. If it wasn't so far away from home, and I just didn't do it. I mean, sure, part of me probably thought I'd be cheating on Chaotic, which I would have been, and probably would have been fired. But
probably.
As we've had this conversation, it kind of makes me wonder, I'm sure it was to lure me to the dark side, from the dark side to the darker side. But also, is it would I have been made an example of? I don't know. I mean, I'm just overthinking the whole thing. But, you know, would I have been ridiculed I'm just thinking out loud. It was just very random.
No more so than we ridiculed on Chaotic shows. How's that?
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think so because, we do our shows, right? And then after every show, Steve would find a little office, his little office, a broom closet or whatever, and guys would go in and get their payday. But he would call guys in one at a time, and then shut the door and then talk to him for whatever. He'd get, you know, what'd you think of your match tonight? Did you watch any of the rest of the show? You know, you got any tips, any feedback? What do you think? What do you think's going good? What do you think could be improved? He would have these discussions with people. So I'm sure that conversation took place. I wasn't privy to it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure if you would have come in, you would have probably been taken care of, because I think at that point there might have been some issues with the ring announcer that we were using. I think he was moving, Jay Pinkham. I think he was either moving or he got a new job.
Yeah.
He didn't have the availability to do every show. So I think maybe he might have actually been looking for another ring announcer.
And I think that's what it was, because it wasn't so much coming in and doing every show, but it was like because Steve knew me and knew of my work that, you know. And in hindsight, I mean, knowing everything that happened after the fact, I mean, it would have caused more drama than good. But to me, I'm still to this day, 25 years in, I hate long friggin' trips and, you know.
And yes, to answer your question, we would have fired you.
There you go. There you
no,
go.
I would not have batted an eye.
There
no
it
offense
is.
To you, Rich. Yeah, we would have fired you.
None taken.
No, and I think that was our point back then, that at that point in time, if anybody went and worked there, and I think it was, we talked about it, I think the Chad thing, that was the one that lit it on our end. That was really the one that lit the fuse that said, all right, if you're going to do this, you go work there. We will not use you anymore.
Right.
So that's so funny, though. Yeah. Who think that the Iowa lifeguard is the one that really heated everything up?
Yeah.
But
the Iowa shit factor.
Have you heard about that with Chad?
I think so.
Poor Chad. I've told Rich a story that fairly recently. I was actually a couple of years back now. I did a business meeting in Minnesota, and I had to drive to Dubuque, Iowa. And as I'm driving through, I saw Iowa signs for Iowa City, and that's where he was from. And I'm like, I should text Chad and like stop and say hello. And then I'm like, no, I should really just keep driving. There's nothing good's going to happen there. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap up our show today with Alex Arion. We'll touch on a few more things. You're listening to Let the Chaos Begin on the For the Pops and the NAI Pop Network.
Are you a wrestling fan, but you've always wanted to get in the ring? Do you want to follow in the footsteps of superstars like Donovan Dijak and Flip Gordon? Then check out the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. At the NEPWA, you can live your wrestling dreams and train at the best pro wrestling school in the Northeast. Check out neprowrestling.com for information on joining and about their upcoming fantasy camp. It's neprowrestling.com. Start your pro wrestling dreams today. You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin, but if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com.
Hey, Jamie, I understand we have a new sponsor for the show.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting, Rich.
Simple Corp Global, men's and women's grooming products delivered right to your home.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I've known about Simple Corp Global for a while. They have great products. They have a great system where, you know, you don't have to run to CVS. You don't have to run to Stop and Shop to get all your stuff. They have these great products they deliver right to your door. And the cool part is they actually have three different lines literally for everybody in your family. Their core line, and Rich, I'm looking at you for this one. You know, Let the Chaos Begin. We always have these wrestlers coming in. What is the deal with all you people with beards now?
I'm not answering that, Jamie.
What? I mean, you got beards and fuzz and all that stuff. Well, Simple Man, their core product line, it's actually have a huge line of men's stuff like beard oils and beard balms. So that Brillo pad on your face for your wife, Lisa,
yes,
that could be soft and supple for you going
forward. She'll be happy.
I'll tell you, my daughter, Nikki, she swears by their Simply Hers line. They have their volumizing products, and she swears, but it's like, bam. Instant hydration for her hair. And then, you know, for any women listening out there, you know, if you want to get a nice gift for the guys, they actually even have a luxury cologne line called Alfred Hoff that's been sold in like retail markets around the world that's now exclusive to Simple Corp Global.
That's fantastic. And you know me with a wife and 13-year-old twins, I'm all about saving money. So we're talking salon quality without paying salon prices.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel worse for you than me because I don't know if you've noticed, you know, you should talk to your son about this stuff. Because if you notice now, that it seems like teenage boys, they seem to be spending just as much money on their appearance as teenage girls now.
They sure are.
And the cool thing, Rich, you know, you said it's one thing to save money. The great thing with Simple Corp Global is you can make money too. They actually have a program where you can shop for free as a repeating customer, or you can have your own website where when people shop with you, you actually make money. And the best thing I love about their company is their corporate motto. It's work hard, play harder. So they have all kinds of rewards and bonuses for anybody who shops with them or signs up to sell with them. So definitely check them out online.
That's simplecorpglobal.com/forthepops. Once again, simplecorpglobal.com/forthepops. Reach out and touch faith.
And we are back with Let the Chaos Begin on the NAI Pop Network here in the For the Pop studios with our special guest, the Golden Greek, Alex Arion. And people are probably tuning in hoping we're going to get to the Alex Arion stories in Chaotic. But we're going to save that for another one because I can honestly say we talked about this before in wrestling. And Al, you know this from helping Steve promote and being in the business long enough. You can work with people you don't like. As a promoter, I push people I don't like. And there are people you do like that you're friends with that you'd never push because they're awful. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Liking people never had anything to do with it. Al was always one of my favorite people in the company. Always.
Thanks,
like, honestly, and I don't say that to everybody who comes in. Like when Brian Fury, I've never said that to him. But Al's like one of my favorite people that was ever in Chaotic. So I want to save all those stories.
Yeah.
Because some of them are legendary. Al told us a story off the air that I'm not going to make him tell.
No.
But it brought it back to me. I'm like, that might be one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
But we're going to save that. But
all right.
To kind of wrap up the whole Chaotic WFA piece, you guys kind of wound down in what, 2007?
I want to say the last show was in 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't anything, there wasn't like, I hate to say it, much like you joked about it earlier when we talked about your career, that you didn't do a farewell tour.
Right.
When I left Chaotic, there weren't banners and all that stuff.
I gave you lots of Purell, though,
you
as
did.
A parting
that was,
gift.
That was good. But I would say most of these things, whether it's wrestlers, promoters, or promotions, they really end with a fizzle, not a bang. There's not like some big, this caused it, oh, and it's over. No. Yeah. You can probably speak to it. It's expensive. It's time-consuming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get burnt out. I mean, you know, I know I myself was burnt out because, you know, I would be at the school every, you know, 3-4 times a week while working a 40-hour a week job. But like I said, you're at the school not till 9 or 10. Yeah. You're there till who knows what time. So, yeah, I got burnt out pretty quick.
And I have to believe, again, having never met him, but from what you told me about Steve's personality, sounds like Steve was an all-in, balls-to-the-wall kind of guy.
All-in, hands into everything, hands on everything. All the entrance videos, he did that. The website, he did that. He did everything. He didn't want help. Because he didn't think anybody could do it as good as him.
Sure.
So, yeah, he was a control freak in that way.
Right.
But, I mean, that's why everything was so good, but I think that's also why you get burnt out.
Yeah, I mean,
you need a break. You know, and you never took breaks.
And so. I was actually going to make the comment earlier that in a weird way, I wish planets aligned differently. You know, I always call myself, you know, when I had it, we were the evil empire and I was the emperor. I almost wish that stars could have aligned differently, that had Steve and I ever teamed up. Because a lot of the stuff you talk about, you know, I never wanted to do the postering, the booking, any of that stuff. I almost feel like if Steve and I ever could have teamed up, it would have been like the Emperor with Darth Vader, where literally, I don't think we would have put people out of business. We probably would have killed a few promoters. Like, I can think of one or two off the top of my head who, if they had to deal with our two personalities going after things on every front, one of them probably would have keeled over dead out of sheer panic.
Probably.
Because I from all you've told, it's like all the stuff I had others do, the legwork, the postering, the booking.
We did that.
Yeah.
That was Steve and
that
I
was
would
Steve
go to.
Steve and you.
Yep. I was the one,
yep.
You know, he was driving, I was getting out of the car and putting up the posters,
right.
Going into the store. Yeah, that was all us.
As versus on the other side, you've got me and Chaotic getting the corporate relationships, getting sponsors.
Yep.
So it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
But like I said, so many people don't realize, I'm sure what would have, and I said that to lead into this, I'm sure what probably infuriated Steve as much as it infuriates me to this day is when you have so-called promoters pop up for one show or two. I'm going to be a promoter.
Yeah.
And they run one show.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. And it's like, no, you're not a promoter. You're spending your money like an idiot. Yep. And my favorite part, and I'm looking at Al because you probably did this to a few people over the years. My favorite would be, like, if guys went to work for WFA or other places over the years, yeah, I would encourage guys not to work there. When somebody would pop up for one show,
yep,
I would always be like, yeah, go ahead, on one condition: charge them double what I'm paying you. And they would. Mm-hmm. That would always be my favorite. Some knucklehead would run some show in Tingsboro and be like, oh, I want to use Chaotic Guys. Right, go ahead. Just get them for twice what I'm paying you. And they'd pay it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
That was always, always my favorite. Mm. But again, what kind of washed out of all of this after WFA wrapped up and then that school closed, eventually a lot of you guys that wanted to keep wrestling kind of came over to us. So it was, I think the first round was really, it was you, Fury, Nikki, Tanya Lee.
Okay.
Scott Reed.
And Scott Reed. I think you were the first five that kind of.
They were all before me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so they came in first.
They came in
first. So when did you actually come in?
I can't remember if I called Fury and said, hey, how's Chaotic? Or if they asked me if I'd be interested. I can't remember how that went. But I want to say it was 2007, was it? Yeah, maybe 2007, I think.
Sounds about right. I'd have to look
and up. And I think the first match I worked with was with Surratt, Kid Mikazi. That was my first
really?
Match.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Do you remember where?
In Lowell at the PAV.
Because I remember the first thing I really remember was, I think right around the time you came on board, we started running in Derry.
Yeah, you guys started running shortly after I came on board, I think.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Because I remember when, because now that we had Fury on board, and again, it's all of us, these memories, you start to crisscross years.
Right, yeah.
But I remember now when you and Fury were really on the roster, that's when we started to go to, that's when we started running that Derry, was it the Opera House?
It was an Opera House,
yeah. The Derry Opera House, yep. which was kind of another great venue.
Yeah, yep.
That was an awesome venue.
Yep.
To run in. See, Rich and I are both we're both clicking in the background.
Yes.
To figure out when you first started.
Yeah, I want to say it was 2007. I'm almost positive that's when it was. And yeah, the first match was with Surratt. Yeah.
Wow.
Because you were not on Cold Fury 7. I'm sorry, you were not on Cold Fury 6, which was Into the Fire. But there you are. You're there shortly after. You're there in February of 2007. Okay. It was you and Max wrestling against the Logans.
That was my first match?
It might not be your first match, but this is pretty early on.
Okay.
Because it sounds like this was when you were part of, what were you, Big Business, right?
Weren't we the Intellectual Properties first, I thought?
Oh, wow. With Arch.
Or not.
Wow. We need more guests.
But it was only for like...
round table.
I want to say, I think Arch was only around for one or two shows.
So I have to put somebody over. One of our biggest fans of all time was Mike Jass.
Yes. Right?
Mike Jass. Yeah. And Mike Jass, I'm not giving the link, but he still has his photo library that he's given me access to for when I have to do stuff like this. Wow. And I swear, I'm clicking around. I just clicked on CW 12-1 of 2006. The subheadline is Alex Arian debuts.
Oh, wow. It was 06.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it was December of 06. And you're right. You wrestled Kid Mikazi.
See what a big deal you were?
Yeah.
That's the headline.
That's a headline.
Wow.
Alex Arian.
Jesus.
Is there anything about Brian Fury on that?
No. Fury was there. He had been there for a while. Like you said, they came in first.
Yeah, they came in first. Yeah.
So what was it like when you first came into Chaotic?
I thought it was just like any other show, except I remember you being super friendly. You were super friendly.
I'm friendly.
Yeah, and that? I remember everybody coming up and like, I felt like everybody was kind of almost too respectful to me, and I'm just like, I'm just one of the guys. And I remember Nikki and Brian coming over and saying, like, do you see how everybody's like coming up and talking to you and shaking your hand? Do you see how much they respect you? And I'm like, okay.
You're being humble though, because you were
you were the guy.
Like I won't beat the dead horse, but I had reached out to you years before wanting you on this roster. But when you came on board, that was a big deal, especially for a lot of those younger kids and a lot of our regular guys. It wasn't so much about the war. It was about, you and your talent and your knowledge. In all honesty, I mean, I'm shooting straight.
It was both parts of it. You know, I'm not sure I would have known about Al had it not been for. And I have to keep going back to you, Steve, and WFA. You are partially responsible for how good Chaotic got to be over the years. And you challenged us. You made us change what we were doing. We had to evolve, and that made us better. So I think that was part of it is hearing about you and knowing about you from there. But now when we had the Furies and the Nickies and even Max, who, like I said, had trained with you guys, to have all those people saying how good you were the guy you were like the missing piece to the Chaotic puzzle. You were like, and again, I don't want to make like big comparisons, but it was like, you know how they talked about how WWE really never got Sting when they should have? That was you coming into Chaotic. You were like that one piece we never had. But it shows with, and we'll talk about this on another day, with how we were able to use you. You were one of these guys who we brought you in. You could work with anybody, right? You could carry anybody. You could work with anybody. You could do ha-ha stuff. Your matches were not, you know, you weren't like, you brought up low-key earlier in John Walters. John. Yeah. John always wrestled that John Walters style. There wasn't a lot of ha-ha in a John Walters match, if ever.
No.
Low key. That dude needed to lighten up now and again. You know, you, if we said to you, we need to go, you to go out there and work a technical, a wrestling match, you could.
Yeah.
But you would throw ha-ha in there. You had personality. You were a character. You were like the Get that I would now say, because, you know, we're looking right around Cold Fury 6, 7, 8. A lot of our stories were based around you because of what you brought to the table. So we weren't just, yes, I'm a friendly guy. We weren't just blowing you. It was like, no, we were psyched to have you. We felt like we had added a huge jewel to the Chaotic crown at that point.
I took my old title of talent administrator very seriously because I wanted to make sure that we didn't have garbage in our locker room.
Yeah.
And that's why I reached out to you years before. So I see you kind of speechless, but I mean, this is like God honest truth. I mean, I didn't even plan on having this kind of conversation, but you know, don't ever sell that short for what you've contributed, not only to Chaotic, but pro wrestling in New England as a whole.
And you went over in your debut match, didn't you? You pinned Mikazi.
Did I?
Yeah. I think you cheated.
Sure.
I think you did something. You're a big jerk. I think
for the record, it was Brian Fury that had defeated Fred Samson for the New England title in Derry, New Hampshire. But you won the New England title from Brian Fury in the same building.
In Derry.
October of 2007.
Yeah. I can, like all I said, right. I have very vivid, specific memories of Al from matches with Ric Fuller to belt presentation. I remember all that stuff. Wow. I have one of my
Golden Greek and the Golden Goddess. Didn't we have the Golden Goddess?
You were teamed up with my favorite Chaotic female of all time, Cherry Payne, for the longest time.
Right. Yep.
There's a birthday celebration we'll talk about. We'll talk about all that another day. So many of my favorite Chaotic moments revolve around you. I can tell you there's one where to this day, when I meet up with WWE ref Sean Bennett, we still talk about one match of yours every single time I see Sean. So we'll save that for another day.
All right.
One other thing that I will always forget, never forget because of the funny haha. You wrestled somebody, I'll leave their name completely out of it, and they may have vomited in the ring a little bit. And that was exactly your response. You were like, look what you did. You pointed like you were saying, I'm the dog. I won't say who it was, but
I can't wait for the Alex, Arian, and Chaotic episode because
it's going to be insane.
We've got the Chaotic countdown with you and Ilya in the ring, the Greek squad, with so many stories about his run. But I do want to touch on one more thing with Steve, and Steve unfortunately did pass away in, I think we said, 2008.
Yes,
correct. At this time, you're all with us, and I will go on record to say I never met Steve. And Rich, this should really be your story, because it's the one time in our 18 years together that I can honestly say Rich was right and I was wrong. So go ahead. So start it rolling, Rich.
So Steve passed away, and the first show that we did after Steve passed away, I pulled Jamie aside and I said, I want to do a 10 bell salute for Steve Bradley. No, absolutely not. I'm sorry that he passed away, but he tried to put us out of business. I you're not going to do that in my ring, period, and walked away. Right hand to God, I grabbed Jamie by the arm, and I said, hey, he was my friend, and he trained more than half of your locker room.
Yeah, because at that time, you were all there. It was Brandon, Reed, you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Everybody. And Tarzan might have been around at that point, too.
And as you guys, as my friends, I mean, what does that say if I don't? So I said, no, I'm fucking doing this. I'm sorry, but I'm doing it. You can fire me right after I do it, but I'm doing it. And he paused and he kind of just went, you're right. And I know it killed him to say it.
He was right.
And I did. And I went out but, I did my 10 bell salute and that's all I wanted to do. No. You know, like that. So, I mean, that was just it. I mean, it was a lot. I hadn't seen Steve in forever. You know,
and that also came from me. Like I said, I wasn't part of the business. I came in very late, and Rich, I can't even twist this to make any of it Rich's fault. No, Rich, you were 100% right on that one. I'd never met Steve, but I viewed it as no. This, and forgive me, God rest his soul. This fucker tried to put me out of business. He said, "I'm going to." My exact words. No, why am I going to salute him on my show when all he did was try to put me out of business? I'd never met the guy. He's never been in my ring. And he tried to put me out of business. And he's like, and you said it. I will never forget that he said, he trained half your roster. And I think you messed up. You actually said, if not out of respect for him, do it out of respect for them. Right. And I'm like, fine. Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't, yes, Rich, you're right. No, it was fine. You're right. And walked away.
I well up even thinking about it because it was like a thing. So it's like, you know, you always laugh at me when I talk about the brotherhood of this business, but it's like we lost somebody, whatever happened. Yeah. But how could I look at Al? How could I look at Brian? How could I look at Nikki? How could I look at anybody in that locker room and just be like, oh, okay, it's showtime. Let's go, people. I just couldn't. So.
No. And in hindsight, it was no different than when Kowalski passed away.
Yeah.
And we did one for him. You know, there were other people on the show that night who had never trained with Walter. Half of them probably had never met the guy.
Right.
But still, when somebody's responsible for half your roster. So Rich, you were right.
Thank you.
You were right. And what year was that? 2008?
2008.
So you're due. It's been 10 years. You should be right again soon.
I'm hoping so. if I can't be right at home, I can't be right in my real job, I got to be right in a wrestling ring or in a locker room just once, one more time before
Al,
I retire.
So Al, did you have fun?
I had a blast. Yeah.
this is a good time.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anything else we need to cover before
we're
we
wrap back,
up?
Daddy? We're back.
I know. Let the Chaos Begin is back.
What about the time that we almost had Steven Chaotic? You never met him, but remember, we almost...
No.
You knew about this. You didn't know about this? You knew about this.
I love this. This is a late-breaking story. Go ahead. Tell me the story.
Come on. I could have sworn... All right. Before he passed away, he had gone to rehab.
Yeah.
Gotten clean.
Yeah.
Got himself in really good shape again. Wanted to start working again. So he asked me... How's that chaotic? And I said, well, it's great. You know, they treat me great.
Yeah.
Jamie's really nice. Everybody there is really nice. And I said, do you want to come in and work a couple of matches? You know, because he wanted to make another go of it. And he goes, I will, but I'll only work with you. I said, okay, I think I can make that happen. So I didn't meet with you. Who the hell did I meet with then? It was myself, Max... And who was booking at the time?
If it was 2008, I would have been. I was around.
Who was booking?
Maybe it was the summer, and you weren't around.
That's possible. If it was summer, I wouldn't have been around.
It was. No, because it was going to be. We were going to do like a surprise kind of thing where we didn't tell anybody. It was myself, Max, and who the hell was booking? Why can't I remember who was booking for you guys then?
Was it
Malone's?
No.
Was it Crockett?
Crockett.
It would have been Crockett. Would have been in the mix. Would it have been Fat Pants?
I don't think it was Fat Pants. I think Fat Pants had left by that point. It's not going to be on your booking sheet. You can try to find it.
It was 2009.
But if I look at booking sheets, I can remember.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was 2009. Wait, no.
No, because he passed away in 2008.
He passed away in December 2008, and it was that show where you're talking about the 10 Bell Salute.
Yeah.
We were going to do something where I was going to come out and do like an open challenge kind of thing.
And he was
going to come out, and nobody knew about it. It was going to be myself, Max knew, and whoever was booking it. Was it George Carroll, maybe?
George Carroll was around. So I'm betting it was some combination of Crockett, George Carroll, and it would have been, I bet Adult was the other one that was at that meeting.
Adult might have been there,
too. I think you would have approached Carroll, Adult, and Crockett. Some combination of those three at that point in time. That's exactly what it was.
But it was going to be one of those where nobody knew.
Including Jamie,
and then
apparently.
Last resort plays.
Including you, I guess. And then, it was going to be me in the ring doing like an open challenge kind of thing. And then I can't remember how we had it set up, but somebody was going to not even get to the building till like shortly before.
He was 7:59.
And he was going to just come in through the people. Like, he was going to get the phone call on the cell phone. We had it all worked out.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was going to get the phone call from the cell phone, come in right through where the people come in, so nobody in the back would have known.
Wow.
We were going to surprise everybody. And he was just going to come in, beat the shit out of me, and then go from there, you know? But, yeah.
Wow.
And he ended up, unfortunately, passing away.
Whew. My God.
You know who else it could have been, now that I'm looking? Could have been Handsome. This could have been during one of Handsome's injuries, where he was helping us on the booking committee, too.
Might have been. I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but we met at the CTC at the time. We were up there, and I pitched it, and everybody was all for it. I said, but it can't leave this room. It can't leave this room. Nobody else can know. And everybody was like, yeah, it's fucking great. And Steve was on board with it. We were talking about it up until he passed away. Yeah, he was ready to do it.
That's unbelievable. That
I thought you knew.
And no, I never
knew.
Okay,
so it wasn't you in the room then.
No, I was never in the room.
But I just remember it was myself. Max was sitting next to me on the couch, and whoever else was in the room. And it's not leaving this room, but this is happening.
See, I'm looking at the booking sheets, and there's Duke of Elegance. Okay, so I'm looking back during this time frame.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Handsome as the Duke. That was when Handsome was coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
And I'm betting it was some combination of George Adult. What we're going to do is, as soon as we hang up, texts are going to start going out.
Yeah, we're going to.
So I can confirm exactly who this was.
True.
Oh, but that would have been amazing.
And I remember just thinking that I would be in. I remember Ribbon, talking to Steve about what a ribbon would be, because we would be, you know, his music would hit and we'd be able to hear Brian going, what? From the back. I remember that was like our little joke between us. Like, we'll both hear Fury in the back going, what?
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, we can't end it any better than that.
We can't.
Except to say that, Al, we're definitely going to have you back so we can talk to you about the can't Chaotic Gears. You're like our favorite guest, Rich. I'm so glad we're doing With the Chaos Begins with more guests now. Because I'm finding that the Johns and the Tarzans and the Al's, they are much more interesting than you and I will ever be.
Yeah, you guys are boring.
But thank you for coming in, and Rich, welcome back. I'm happy to be back with you finally.
Nice to be here.
This is a good time.
Thank
you. So we will be back every other week. We'll get back on track with more of the Let the Chaos Begin right here on the For the Pops and the NAI Pop Networks. We'll talk to you all again soon.